How do we interpret what happens next? Two world wars, after which there was no more an authentic international socialist movement, and instead widespread fear of nuclear weapons, calibrated to reflect supposed hierarchical threats and to keep us divided and disoriented, nation against nation. And no more talk of Nikola Tesla's weapon or his lifelong work devoted to peace and inventing what would be needed to make it a reality. Today, though it's not a view familiar to us, let's consider those two world wars through the lens of Nikola Tesla's inventions. Let's see them always there, but kept hidden, always there, but disappeared from us, along with the man himself, Nikola Tesla. Let's consider that the string of his work pulls all. And then let's consider in whose hands it belongs. Quote, some intelligence, and this is a quote from American Dynasty, Aristocracy, Fortune, and the Politics of Deceit in the House of Bush from Kevin Phillips, quoted in our November 29, 2015 show. Quote, some intelligence officials during World War II, in turn, were ambiguous about favoring the Soviet Union over Germany, maintaining quiet connections through Switzerland with non-Nazi Germans and some Nazi officials. During the winter of 1942, the Swiss-based Alan Dulles discussed with emissaries, at least half seriously, a settlement in which Germany would keep Austria and some other new territory. SS Chief Heinrich Himmler would replace Hitler, and Truman had argued in 1941 that as between the warring Russians and Germans, if we see that Germany is winning, we ought to help Russia, and if Russia is winning, we ought to help Germany, and in that way, let them kill as many as possible. It was not a sentiment that got Truman in trouble. How could we have put up, and that's on quote from Kevin Phillips, how could we have put up with such people as this over us, sitting on us for so long? We didn't see another way. Well, now we do. Quote, the eastern border, and this is a quote from Keith Lowe's Savage Continent, Europe in the Aftermath of World War II. The eastern border of Poland was not the only one to move in 1945. When the Big Three met at Tehran, they also discussed what would happen to Poland's western border. Churchill and Roosevelt were keen to compensate the Poles for what they would lose to Stalin by giving them parts of Germany and East Prussia instead. Stalin was delighted with this idea, not only because it legitimated his seizure of Poland's eastern borderlands, but because it pushed the demarcation line between Moscow and the Western Allies even further westwards. The only nation to lose substantial amounts of territory would be Germany, for whom it was regarded as a fitting punishment. Once again, there was no consultation of the quote-unquote freely expressed wishes of the people concerned, as promised by the Atlantic Charter. The consequences for these people would be momentous. Pomerania, East Brandenburg, Lower and Upper Silesia, most of East Prussia, apart from a portion that Russia would keep for herself, and the port of Danzig, had been considered German for hundreds of years and were populated almost exclusively by German people, more than 11 million of them. It was unthinkable that 11 million Germans would be allowed to continue living within the borders of the new Poland. As Churchill put it, it would be a pity to stuff the Polish goose so full of German food that it got indigestion. Unquote. It was understood by all parties that these Germans would have to be removed. I mean, does that not just leave you speechless? The arrogance of these folk. And absent our discussions of Alice, they get away with it. We have to get ourselves back to fully appreciate the horror of what we're hearing here. When concerns were raised at Yalta about the practicality and the humanity of expelling such large numbers of people from their ancestral homelands, Stalin remarked blandly that most of the Germans in these regions had already run away from the Red Army. Broadly speaking, he was correct. The bulk of the populations in those areas had fled in fear of Soviet vengeance. But by the end of the war, there were still some 4.4 million Germans living there, and in the immediate aftermath of the war, a further 1.25 million would return, mostly to Silesia and East Prussia, in the belief that they could pick up their old lives. According to Soviet plans, all these people would either be conscripted as forced labor to pay off German war reparations or be removed.